to Prognosis. Awesome. We are back for another episode. It has been an interesting week, I would say. We have been mired in this coronavirus, awful, depressive situation. But this week, it looks like they actually approved a vaccine. And it's a super interesting situation because it's the fastest a vaccine has ever been made. And we owe it all to this big, disgusting conglomerate we call Big Pharma and Pfizer and Moderna and all these companies. These companies have essentially been running roughshod over the United States, like unregulated for, I don't know, like 100 years. But, you know, it's like a situation where, you know, we've let you do this for 100 years, make all this profit, do whatever you want. But now we got this big fucking problem. So fix it. So get in there and fix it. It's like Razor Ramon. Hold on. Rob, do you remember Razor Ramon?
A little bit. Had the little razor, little chain. I remember him. Yeah.
So anyways, guys.
Hair, right? You got the little curly hair.
Yeah. This is Rob Fine. I'll introduce
him. With the toothpick.
The toothpick, right? He was like, say hello to the bad guy, right?
He was basically what? Like the white Tony Montana?
Yeah, he was Scarface, basically. Yeah, exactly. So basically, like, Big Pharma is like, say hello to the bad guy, but it's so annoying about life. Sometimes you need the fucking bad guy. And the bad guy came in, and they created this vaccine. So we got a little bit of fucking hope. A vaccine that was created right here in the USA, you know, despite all the shortcomings that we have in this country, and we got a lot of problems. I don't think that's news to anybody, but we fucking came through in the clutch. You know, we came through, we created a vaccine, and maybe we're going to get back to our lives pretty soon, which is super exciting and it's super positive, and we need all that stuff. And something that's super positive is today's guest. We have mixed martial artists. We have instructor. We have UFC fighter and local legend Rob Font on the show today. Say hi, Rob.
What's up, guys? What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
Not bad. It's good to see. It's been a long time since I've seen you. I know Rob from our Sityatong days. And I know this is a couple stories I've told on the podcast before, but Rob and I used to take one of the same classes. It was a Brazilian jiu-jitsu for MMA class on Mondays with Tony Martin. Rob, do you remember those classes?
Yeah. Kimura Master, of course.
Kimura's all day. I feel like I almost got my shoulder ripped out about a million times. But that's kind of where I became acquainted with Rob. And Rob is one of these guys I like to describe as a gentleman fighter. You know, there's a lot of just disgusting animals in the fight world, and but Rob is like a martial artist, right? And that's something I like to talk to people about. Martial arts isn't really for big ogres who want to kill and hurt and maim people. It's about competition and helping each other get better. Wouldn't you say that's correct?
Definitely. You know, there's a lot of learning, a lot of growth, a lot of helping your fellow partner, teammate, mother, sister, whatever, trying to get better, even if it's just doing a martial art just to lose weight or gain more confidence or self-defense, you know. So, Yeah,
it's really amazing because I still remember the first time I sparred with you and I'm like, holy shit, this guy's like a legitimate human weapon. And like he could murder me, but he got in there and you went at this pace that pushed me. But I was like, oh, he's not here to like destroy my face. He's here to like compete and teach and learn. Because unfortunately, Rob, in the gym, there are those guys in there who are out there to kind of hurt people and fuck people up. Yeah. But you know what? Those people usually get weeded out, right?
Yeah. Those guys get the green light come Monday night sparring. You know, we get the green light on those guys. You come in there acting up, you'll get the payback, you know, and it's just the way it goes, you know. If you're especially like new and you just don't know how to calm down, obviously we'll work with you. But the moment you really step out of line, it's like green light, go get them. And then you gotta learn your lesson. But it's not it's more of those things like where you know, it's just not safe to be that guy. You know, it's just not safe. Worst comes to worst, you're going to hurt yourself going too hard. And then God forbid you hurt your training partner. Now you can't train. It's just, this doesn't make sense, you know? So it's definitely not safe. I've seen guys like try to go too hard and break their own hand trying to hit, you know? So it's, it's one of those things. That's just not safe for everybody, but, you know, we got a special place for those type of people.
So walk me through that conversation. Like how do you green light somebody? Like who says that?
Oh, I said it was all Delegrado would give me the okay, like, hey, he's acting up, give him the okay, he'll let it go, you know, we'll get him going. And it's just like everybody that has it out for you, you know what I'm saying? We're gonna take your head off. In a nice way though, in a nice way to show you, like, hey, listen, like there's levels to this, you know what I'm saying? And like it's kinda like, you know, you can't come up there and try to bully people because there's always gonna be somebody better than you in this martial arts game. And there's always gonna be somebody bigger, stronger, faster, you know. So it's one of those things, like if you don't know how to kinda like, it's because there's one thing of being a spaz and just kind of not knowing how to calm down. And it's one thing that's trying to hurt somebody. When you get to that pace, you feel, because eventually you'll learn how to calm down, you know. And then once you get to a point where you're like throwing big bombs or really trying to pull back on an arm bar, then it's just kind of dangerous. And then again, you learn your lesson the hard way. So,
yeah, I remember one time, this was probably 5 years ago at Sia Tia Tong. And it was in one of these Monday classes, but it was before Tony was teaching it. And it was this guy, his name was Alejandro, I think he was. And he was like a South American cage fighter guy. And all of a sudden this new kid comes in. He's like 6'4", like 230. He's massive. And we're doing a takedown drill, right? And everybody's in a line and you have the mat, right? And the guy in front of the mat turns towards the line. You get taken down. You go to the back of the line. The guy who took you down gets taken down. You just keep going in a line, right? So this new kid was in the line behind me and he's just an animal. He's like 23 and he is like lifting me up over my head and just planting me into this mat, right?
Oh God.
He did it to me 5 times, but like, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want to be a bitch, you know? I'm like, this guy's going too hard. So I didn't want to do that, but he's like lifting it over his head and driving his shoulder into my ribs. He did it so many times. He cracked one of my ribs. And on the last one, he missed the mat and bounced my head off the floor. Yeesh. And I was like Tweety Birds after that. But I was like, I don't know if I can go anymore. So I had to miss the next week because I had a cracked rib. My brain didn't work.
There's no place for that.
Yeah. But the week after, I show up and I'm still like, you know, cracked rib takes a long time to heal. But I show up because I didn't want to be a bitch. And this kid is back, right? And he's sparring with some other kids and everybody's like, hey, you know, take it easy. But he's throwing these big fucking gorilla bombs all over the place, right? Just gorilla. And everybody's like, hey, you know, we don't do this. This isn't the way we do it. We don't do it this way. And they would go to the next sparring partner. It's like, ah, you know, this isn't the way we do it here. But then Alejandro, the guy who taught the class, he's like, hold on, let me, you know, Alejandro is like, he fights at 135, you know? Mm-hmm. And this kid's like 230, 240. He's got like 100 pounds on Alejandro.
He just schooled him.
But Alejandro is like a steel-sharpened weapon, right? Oh. So we did this one, and Alejandro's like, you know, we don't train this way. We don't train this way. And, like, Alejandro just slipped to right, slid to his left, and blasted him with a right hand right in the solar plexus. He hit him so hard, he threw up all over the mat. And Alejandro's like, now clean it up and never come back. I was like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I guess to the point where, again, like those guys are, they're just bad for business. You know, you can't run a business like that.
Yeah.
They're bad for obviously health-wise. And they're just bad for the overall morale. And now every time that guy comes in, you look at him instantly like, oh, man, like your attitude and your day basically is ruined because you know potentially – you're going to have to go with this guy. You're going to have to partner up with this guy and he's potentially going to hurt you, you know? And then again, like, you know, imagine not having or being uncomfortable at work because you broke a rib during a BJJ class or a Muay Thai class that you're doing part-time, you know? So that's just not good, you know? So it's tough. And then that's how you lose members. That's how you lose teammates. And, you know, honestly, that's how you lose good friends, you know?
Yeah. I mean, so it really sucked, but it turned out to be a really cool story. But I bring up that story because whenever I would spar with Rob, he's like what I said, he's a gentleman fighter. He's there to help you learn. He's a solid instructor. And one of my favorite memories is I still remember your first UFC fight. I was bartending and we had it up on the TV. And when you're bartending, you get a lot of complaints from guests when you show guys cage fighting, because especially they're like, oh, we don't want to watch this. I told them all to shut the fuck up because Rob Font was on the TV, and I still remember you absolutely starching George Roop. That was one of the coolest. I was like, that's the guy that punches me in the face on a regular basis. So.
Yeah, that was a good night, man. That was a good night. That debut was one of those awesome memories I'll never forget. You know, that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, so you've been hurt for a little while, Rob. Like, what's been going on there?
So I ruptured my ACL and slight tear on my meniscus during the second round of my last fight.
Yeah.
So we had surgery in January. Then just been rehabbing ever since. We did 3 weeks in Vegas. Came out of Boston. I got to go to Boston Sports Facility in Wellesley, Mass. Do the rest of the rehab there. And then, now I'm back. Got a brand new knee, ready to rock. I got a big fight coming up December 19th, fighting Marlon Moraes, number 3 ranked fighter in the world, former title challenger. And we're right back into the mix, so I can't complain. Things, obviously, it was a rough patch at first when I found out how to get the surgery. But, you know, I cried for a day and got right back to work.
Yeah, that's God. It must have been so heartbreaking. But for the listeners at home, I want to let you know that this was the fight against Ricky Simon, right?
Sir, yes, sir.
So you tore your ACL and you hurt your MCL. And ladies and gentlemen at home, this was a fight that he won. He won a fight with a torn ACL and ruptured MCL. So let's go over your next fight a little bit. Marlon Moraes is kind of a killer. So he is, he's a really tough opponent. Like, what do you think about Marlon?
He's he's a stud. You know, he's been around for a while. He's been there, done that. He's on a little losing. He just lost his last one. So it's kind of like, I know how people come back off a loss. I know, at least I know how I come back off a loss. So this is going to be a tough fight, you know. And hopefully he doesn't come back improving all his weapons and all that. But, you know, yeah. I'm planning on him coming back sharp as ever, smooth as ever, the best conditioning of his life. And, you know, I got to deal with that. But I'm welcoming him that challenge. I need that type of challenge. You know, I get excited for those type of challenges, you know. Yeah, no, this is exactly what I need to get to that belt, so.
Yeah, that's awesome. If you look at Marlon's, if you look at his resume, he's fought guys, John Dodson, he's fought Sun Tzu, he's fought Henry Cejudo, Jose Aldo, you know, and that's the kind of fight with a guy with a resume like that that can really put you forward and get you going. And Rob Font, human weapon, instructor, UFC fighter, he's going to get in there and you're going to knock this guy's fucking teeth out. So go get him, Rob.
I love it, man. Appreciate that, man. Appreciate the confidence, man.
Save that big right hand. Blast this dude. That's what we like to hear on Prognosis. Awesome. Well, Rob Font, I want to say thank you so much for being on the show. Total stud, total animal. So now we're going to move on to the first part of Prognosis. Awesome. Because this is a show about success and failure. And as I've talked about on this show before, success and failure in fighting, which is something I've done on a very, very low level. You know, I fought like one amateur fight, like what, no big deal. Like I fought one smoker, but I've sparred a lot and you learn a lot. Success and failure are so right in your face in failing. Like failure, you know when you failed in fighting and you know when you won in fighting. And the rest of life, it can be a little bit of ambiguous. So we love talking about success, the moments that stopped you in your tracks and you said, holy shit, this is awesome. So Rob Font, I want you to tell me about something awesome.
Honestly, that was awesome was, I would say my, obviously my debut, man, like my debut, you know, I got in there, with a veteran in George Roop. The guy was the tallest, lankiest 35er I think you can ever see.
It was
a big night. A big weekend. So they had, it was 4th of July weekend, International Fight Week. They had, a list of stars out there fighting. So I'm like sitting there. I got to meet Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
Mariah Faber, Lyoto Machida, you know, Chris
Legends.
Weidman.
Legends.
So I'm in there like looking around like, wow, this is crazy. You know, I got to meet Joe Rogan for the first time, Dana White. So it was pretty cool. You know, the place was packed. It's Vegas. It's my first time out in Vegas. So it was a lot of first times, you know, just, I was having a blast, you know, And then I get in there, first round knockout, bonus, And then, yeah, so I can't complain, man. I couldn't have drawn that up any better. But the funny thing is, like, you can ask my manager, Tyson, his wife, my girl, like, I was saying it. I was going to knock him out that whole time. Like, what do we,
yeah.
I was like, I'll tell him, like, listen, I'm going to knock him out. Let's stay a little long because I'm getting that 50 grand bonus. And they're like, yeah. But it happened exactly the way I said it. And from there, that's when I really started really understanding the visualization and really understanding how to, you know, believe in what you're saying and almost like speak it out into existence. And I was just saying, I'm gonna put them away. And sure enough, I put them away.
That's awesome. I still remember where I was when I saw it. So I want to talk about the prep going into the fight. You know, you obviously you absolutely blasted him with a right hand, but walking into the ring, what level of fear did you have?
Honestly, I wouldn't say fear. It's just going to be a level of almost like butterflies, you know, the butterflies. Yeah, it's kind of like
anticipation.
The anticipation, the kind of like, if you don't know how to just not overthink what's going to happen, you drive yourself crazy, you know, like, so it's more of like how to like stay calm when everything's going crazy. You know, we use the term of making sure that your butterflies fly in formation. You just can't be all over the place because they're not going anywhere. Just that feeling you feel is not going anywhere, you know. So you got to understand how to deal with that and take it and go positive with it instead of negative with it. You can beat yourself up before you even jump out there about, hey, what if I do get kicked? Or, hey, what if I do get knocked down? What if he does not, you know? Or instead of being like, I'm knocking him out, I'm taking him down. There's a way, it's the way of flipping your mind and understanding like, hey, like this thing, it's just be positive here. Even though you know you're about to get into a fight. And again, like I said, like understanding, like it's not like a fear, it's like a, holy shit, I'm about to get into a fight. Like, what do I, you know? And so if you can't control that, you'll have a rough night. And I think that night showed I was out there, big stage, a lot of people watching, pay-per-view, George Roop. I used to watch this guy fight at WEC, you know, before I even knew what the hell UFC was. You know, I was watching him fight on the local, I'm not sorry, the local scene, but WEC, and big name, all that. You know, like I said, like a guy was like 6'2", I believe. Like, so it was kind of like, there's a lot to think about. But there's a lot, I guess you say, going against me. But in my mind, I was like, there's no way I'm losing this fight, you know. And I just, you know, you saw it happen, you made it happen.
So what does it feel? So you're in the ring. So, you know, just like some shithead like me, I watch it on TV. I don't know what it's like to actually be in the ring with, I don't know, 18,000 people watching. What does it feel like to throw that right hand? If I remember correctly, I think you actually curled George Roop's toes up. I think his toes actually curled up on the ground. Like, what is it? Can you even feel your body after that?
Honestly, I did not. I thought I missed him. I really did. Like, it was such a clean shot. I went right through him. I thought I missed him, and I was like, "Oh, I got him!" I just went to work. It's weird because you don't feel it. It happened so fast. Like, I had to go back and obviously watch the replay and see what happened. But it's the best feeling in the world, man. I don't know how to say this without. I don't know how to say this without being like sound like a crazy guy, but there's no better feeling than knocking another grown man out. Like. Again, I don't know if that's rude. I don't know if that's messed up. There's none of it. Because especially when you call it, you know what I'm saying? Like when you say like Babe Ruth calls the home run and it happens exactly the way he calls it. When you call it and you've been training and, you know what I'm saying? Because again, like, you know, when you first start training, I remember there's a point where people said I had no power. You know what I'm saying? Coming up in the locals, you know, this guy has no power. And I just didn't understand how to connect everything yet. And then once I figured out how to really connect and pick punches together, like it was just too much fun putting guys away. Like, I'd rather do this than, you know, go in 15 rounds or like a 3-round fights or submitting dudes. Like, that's all cool and the win's a win, but there's no better feeling of that big knockout, that like that big slam dunk or that big, you know, saying Hail Mary pass that you catch and then like in football. So for me, you know, saying knockouts are huge, man. That's like the hole in one for me.
Yeah. It's so interesting because sport, like a fighting, it's the ultimate individual sport because when you go in there, there's nobody else. But I think a lot of people don't understand is that it is such a team sport as well. Because when you're in there on a Monday night, you know, for sparring on a Monday night, or when you're doing the Monday, you know, jiu-jitsu club or sparring or whatever, you are part of a team, you know, and there's so many people helping you, so many people sacrificing. And when you land that right hand, you're landing that right hand, not just for you, but you're landing that right hand for every single training partner who helped you. So despite the fact that you're in there by yourself, you're really not in there by yourself, because you're kind of, you're the encapsulation of your whole team effort. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and honestly, it's a good feeling, man. It's a good feeling doing it. It's definitely a lonely feeling when you're in there. It's the most loneliest feeling out there, but it's a good lonely. It's like a calm lonely, if that makes sense. It's a lonely feeling with a million fans watching, and then 18,000 people, if that makes sense. You know, I don't know if you got into fights when you're younger, but like, remember, like, you say you wanted to fight this kid after school, and like, you know how your buddies and all your friends are like, you're gonna fuck this kid up. Whatever. Right. And you guys walk up to the park, and then they're all hyped. They're telling you how good you are, how bad you are, you know, how bad this guy is. And before you know, you get there, then it's like, all right, now you go. Cause they're not fighting. You feel me?
Yeah.
But the whole time they're talking like they are fighting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, and if you don't know how to deal with that lonely, like, wait, it's all on me. Like, you're not going to do this with me. Like, it's really on me. You can go south real fast. So it's understanding how to like understanding that you do need your boys hyping you up, you know what I'm saying? As far as the mental, you know what I'm saying? You do. Cause again, like, imagine if they were going there saying, oh, you're going to lose. You know what I'm saying? You would never have enough confidence even get to the park. Right. So that's what your teammates do. Your teammates hype you up. They get you going. They let you, they bring you to the fight, because your teammates, your coaches, obviously your nutritionists, your family, they bring you, they're the guys hyping you up to the fight. And once you get there, it's like, they're behind you, making sure nothing, like, they're not getting jumped or nothing bad happens. But then it's on you, and you got to figure it out at the same time, listen, at the same time, react. So it's a weird solo fight team sport type of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's super interesting. Obviously, I can't relate to it, so it's pretty cool hearing about it. But you know, I've always known you as a quiet guy. You're not like a. Do you ever talk trash, or do you let your boys do that for you?
Yeah, definitely the boys do it for me. I don't talk too much. You know, it's not my personality. I've always been quiet. Even though I was young, I was quiet. Even like, you know, me and my girl, I was super quiet. I'm just like, hey, what's up? How you doing? You know, it wasn't like. I'm not that much of an aggressive guy. I guess I can get aggressive like in fighting, but I'm not that type of dude. Like, it really takes a lot for me to get like actually mad and actually to like respond or do something. You know, like, I know people, you look at them wrong, they want to, you know, blow up the damn fucking place. You know, then for me, it's like, unless he doesn't physically touch me, or I'm cool. You can say all you want. Like, that's great. That's always been that way. It's just never, I never like, I don't know. I think I'm trying to figure out, like, if I don't care about much, if that makes sense. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just like, that's cool. Like,
so Rob, this is something I have to say to a lot of the guests on my show. So you're a quiet guy, a non-aggressive guy, but you got yourself into a living where you beat people's faces in. Like, that's your actual occupation. Do you understand how weird that is?
Yeah, no, it's
you're a fucking weird guy, Rob. Sorry to have to break it to you this way, but
it's a weird, man. It's weird. Like, for me, it's legit competition. You know, it's just competition for me. And I understand it's a fight, but it's no different from playing a game of cards. You know, I don't separate the two. You know, there's no different from me playing a game of basketball or playing at Madden on Xbox. And it's just like, let's go out to see what you got. I'm gonna see what I got, and we're gonna test ourselves. And then if I win, I win. If I lose, I'm gonna learn from that mistake and bounce back even better.
Yeah. So, well, how do you make that choice to be kind of like a calm, reserved guy and get into this? What really, honestly, is the ultimate level of competition. It's the ultimate level of man versus man or woman versus woman. It's just use whatever tools that you have to defeat your opponent.
Yeah,
like, how do you make that decision to get into this?
I just fell in love with it and got addicted to it, you know. And then as far as the way I come, and that's just naturally me. You know, I can't force myself to go crazy and yell. I'm not even the guy that jumps up in the cage like that and goes all crazy. It's just like I if you look, I'll knock somebody down. I'm like, all right, cool, put my hands up and then just get out of here. And it's not like I feel like if I was that guy, I'd be forcing it. You know, it's not just doesn't come out natural for me. You know, yeah. And then like I said, like some people need that to get hyped up. You know, some people need to get mad. Some people need to scream and shout, and that's what they do. And that's fine. I'm not, you know, so that's what they do. I know myself. I'm confident in myself. And for me, it's kind of like, you know, how do I say it? Like, it's like, I'm going to just do my thing anyways, you know? So like, just be myself, go out there, have fun and, you know, put on a show.
Folks, authenticity is one of the most important things in life. It's, you know, they say that, you know, I like to dabble in comedy and all sorts of stuff like that. And it's, there are people who are able to be successful in like comedy or fighting or whatever by taking on a persona, you know, like Andrew Dice Clay or something like that, became someone else or whatever. But it doesn't work a lot. You know, you've got to be yourself.
You can see the people that force it. You know, so it's cringy when they force it.
Oh, shit. Name names, Rob. Who do we got? Who's forcing it?
Nah, you can see the guys that are forcing it. You can see the guys that are not as smooth with whatever. Like, say, you can see the guy that's trying to be the tough guy. And you're like, well, I'm not buying it. You know, then you can see the guy that's real good just talking shit, you know. And then,
do you want to just say Henry Cejudo right now? Is that what you want to say, Rob?
Yeah, he actually hit me up the other day, actually. He was in Boston. He actually hit me up. He was like, hey, man, I got some good tips for you about Marais, because obviously he fought
Marais. Oh, because he fought Marais, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He was shooting a DVD out here for BJJ Fanatics, and he was out here. But him, like you know, like or Colby Covington, you know. Like, yeah. You know, like, it's like, he's getting better, though. You know, it's like, he's getting better. It's, I don't know, man. It's weird. Like, you can see it night and day, and then you got guys like, obviously, like Conor McGregor that just makes it natural. That's just what he is, you know? Like, it's natural. It's funny. You can't wait to see his next thing, and it's like, not too many people can do that, you know? And, you know, the reason why, like, Dana White says he's the white unicorn, because, like, there's not too many people that can kind of, like, be as witty and ad-lib the way he does, but at the same time, if you give him a script, he's going to hit it word for word and get on point. Some people, it's hard for them. You know what I'm saying? They're good with, you know, just like, think about like wrestlers, like WWF wrestlers. Yeah. You have the guy that was good with the mic and the guy that was just good, just physically and talented, you know? And it's like, it's hard to kind of combine those two. And when you do, you get guys like Conor McGregor, you know? So it's, but then again, like, you know, like, imagine if everybody was a Conor McGregor, it wouldn't be fun no more, you know? So it's like, I think you stay in your lane. You know, obviously you got to do what you got to do. I just say, just be yourself and just be confident in what you do.
Yeah. So I just want to go on record and say that I tried to get Rob to talk trash and he wouldn't do it. That's why he's the gentleman fighter, folks. Henry Cejudo. I tried to get him to talk trash about you, but he wouldn't do it because he's a good guy. Now, Henry, please don't cave my orbital socket in, because I need that. So thank you very much. But we got Rob Font. You know what? He is going to get in there. And I just watched the movie, The Program. You ever watch The Program, Rob?
No, it's a good movie.
Oh, it's great. It's about college football and all this crazy. Okay. It's from like 1993. But there's this character in it, and he's the best at talking trash in the movie. And he has this quote that I thought was hilarious. But Rob Font, when you're in that ring with Marlon Moraes, I want you to hit him so hard his girlfriend dies. That's what I want to see.
Jesus.
Yeah, no. I was like, damn, that's some hard trash talk right there. I like that. That's good. Rob Font, he is a proud member of the New England Cartel, which is, it's you, and we got Calvin is in there. Who else is in the cartel these days?
Man, we got a list of up and comers. You got my boy Tommy Pegs. We got coaches like Jonathan Dupree, Jake Manini, Sean Farley. Wait till you meet Sean Farley. He's a fucking man.
Oh, shit.
You know, we got my little brothers out here now. You know, we got Catherine, Sarah Chartier. There's a whole list of us that are up and coming. It's a small team. We're growing. We're getting bigger. You know, it's kind of like, actually, I say, like, you know, you have the Navy and then you have the Navy SEALs. We're kind of like, you know, like, we're that kind of the Navy SEALs. We're like that elite group that do a lot more than the normal. You know, we go, we we spend a lot of money to bring people in. We travel to go get the right work. We're bringing the boxers. We're bringing the – so we just, like, you know, like, yeah, you see the Navy, they still train. They still all do all the basic training and all that. But then you have the SEALs that just go off to the side, and they do a lot more extra work. And I think we pride ourselves in a small group, the details that we put into the work. And, yeah, I think you're going to see there's a huge difference to what, you know, what we do in New England and what the rest of the people do in New England.
That's awesome. We have a group of stone cold killers. We have the New England cartel, and we have, most importantly, Rob Font representing New England, representing the cartel, and he's out there to blast Marlon Moraes. Rob Font, when is the fight?
December 19th, Las Vegas.
December 19th. That shit is coming up. Watch my boy, Rob Font. Rob, thank you so much for telling me about something awesome. That's amazing. And now we're going to take a quick detour into our first game of the day, where we are going to ask Rob Font to play the Prognosis Awesome Lightning Round. We're going to give Rob three topics, and he's going to make it so simple. He's just going to tell us if this topic is awesome or not awesome, with a quick explanation as to why. Rob Font, are you ready to play the Lightning Round?
Let's do it.
Okay, we got the first topic on the Prognosis Awesome Lightning Round. Rob Font, awesome or not awesome, Steven Seagal.
Steven Seagal is awesome, man. He's awesome. Like, look at the guy. He's never fought in his life, and he's known for fighting. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine that. Imagine if he can legitimately be known for something that you've never done. You know what I'm saying? So I like him. A lot of people don't like him, but I like him. He has some cool hair. He's in the movies. He's the man.
Steven Seagal is one of the most unbelievable characters. So do you remember do you know Michael Chiavello? I think he used to call some of the old WEC fights.
Yeah.
The Australian guy.
What was his thing?
The voice.
What did he say? The big. What did he say?
No, he said "Goodnight, Irene." I think
the "Goodnight, Irene," but hit him with the big kaboom. Or something. He said something. I don't know. I know he's talking about. Yeah, he was on HDNet. Like, I know exactly what you're talking about. He's the man.
So he used to have this show called The Voice Versus, where he would interview these old school fight legends. Like, do you remember the movie Bloodsport, Rob?
Of course,
right? Of course. So he interviewed the actual Frank Dukes, like the real guy that Jean-Claude Van Damme played.
Yep.
And you listen to this interview. And you listen to this interview and you're listening to him, you're like, I know that this is at least like one third of this is complete bullshit. Like, but he has enough to back it up that you just have no idea which one third of it is bullshit.
Yeah.
So he interviewed Steven Seagal on this, and Steven Seagal legitimately thinks he is the guy from Under Siege. Like, he thinks that he is Casey Ryback from that movie. So, but he's got like this ridiculous drawn in hairline. But I know you got to give it. I think you're right. You got to give it to the guy. Man, he's made something.
Think about it. Imagine if I made a career off of being known as a basketball player and I never played basketball in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, and I'm short. You know what I'm saying? Like, that doesn't make sense. But hey, you know, every NBA guy knows me because I played a couple movies and I'm known for basketball. But I'm 5'8". Like, all right, cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, if he can pull it off, let him pull it off. You know. But I remember watching a couple of the movies with my mother when I was younger, the Steven Seagal movies. And I want to get with him. I want to figure out a couple of wrist locks.
Well, he's like on record as saying he's taught Anderson Silva how to like knock people out and all this shit. I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. But we have Steven Seagal on the record is awesome. All right. We're going to move on to the second topic. Yeah, that's right. All right. Top at the second. Rob Font, awesome or not awesome, Las Vegas.
Oh, man, Vegas is awesome. Vegas has been good to me. I believe I bonus three times out in Vegas. Honestly, it's super easy from, like, as far as fighting to deal with the airport, the mm-hmm. hotel staff, even the hospitals. They've been doing it for years, so it's super easy. And then again, like I said, whatever you're into, you're going to find it in Vegas. Whatever you're into. So you can do anything you want in Vegas. So.
Well, that's my fucking problem, Rob. It's got everything.
Obviously, come with a certain amount of dollars and know when to get out of there. But Las Vegas is definitely awesome.
Well, that's my problem. It's got everything, and it's got too much of it. So like you go there and you're there for 2 days, get out, get out of there. Like if you stay there for 4 or 5 days, that shit's going to eat you alive.
Especially if you're living around the, if you're staying on the strip, it's a trip, man. Like it's everywhere, man. It's all day long. It's nonstop. So yeah, but I would recommend everybody go to Vegas.
Did you say you got fucking 3 bonuses in Vegas?
Oh, yeah, sure.
How is that? One of those bonuses like life changing, huh?
Yeah, no, it's definitely life changing. It's huge. It's huge for what we do. You know, it helps out a lot because again, this sport is brutal. It's rough. And obviously, fighters don't make the most money. So when you make some money, you gotta learn how to put it away or put it to the right use. And but yeah, man, I can't complain. I got 3 of them bad boys. Obviously, they like me. So hopefully, September 19th, I'm coming home with another one.
Another bonus, bitch. All right. So for the people who don't know, I think there's 3 bonuses, right? Fight of the night, knockout of the night, and submission of the night, right?
Yep.
So the first one had to have been knockout of the night, right?
It was submission before. Now it's performance of the night.
Performance of the night. Yeah. All right, got it. So Rob Font, listen, if I had 3 bonuses in Vegas, I'd probably call it awesome too. Well done. All right, third topic. Rob Font, awesome or not awesome, a 6-hour plane flight?
Horrible. I hate being on the plane that long. Not awesome. My parents are in the military, so we traveled a lot, and I just hate those long flights. But
yeah,
obviously 6 hours is not that long, but I want no more than 2, and I'm cool. Like, I'm not like afraid of flying, and like that, just I can't sit down still. Like, I'm moving around right now, and I just can't sit there. The trip to Fight Island was the worst, bro. Like, it was so bad. Like, it was 13-hour flight. I was going crazy. Yeah, I was just literally walking up and down the plane just because. He's walking up, just going nuts. But 6-hour flight is not awesome.
Yeah. So the only thing you're right. The flight sucks. The only thing that could potentially make it awesome is if you're on a 6-hour flight, you're probably on the way to somewhere cool. Like you can get to Europe in 6 hours. You can get to LA in 6. You're probably on the way to somewhere cool, but you're right. The actual flight sucks. I was on a 12-hour flight once from Tokyo to New York, and I had ridiculous food poisoning the whole time. It might have been the worst 12 hours of my entire life.
Yeah, I'm not really. Me and Tyson went to Japan, and again, it was horrible, bro. It was just, I'm not saying the Japan experience wasn't horrible, but the flight was horrible. It was just like, oh my God. And at first, you're like, yeah, let's do it. Then you actually sit down and think about what you're about to do. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah, shit is brutal. All right, well, we got Rob Font. We have certified Steven Seagal. We have certified Las Vegas is awesome. 6-hour plane flights. Fuck off, 6-hour plane flights. That's what we got. And that is the end of the first half of Prognosis Awesome. And we will be right back. Today's podcast is brought to you by weirdos. That's right, weirdos. You may recognize them as people who are
weird
and
strange.
That's right, weirdos make life interesting, and divergent thought is responsible for every good thing we have. So free your mind and keep it weird. Weirdos. Because if you aren't at least a little weird, you're probably
boring.
Welcome back to Prognosis Awesome. We have UFC fighter, member of the New England Cartel, knockout artist, and all-around bad motherfucker. We have Rob Font on the show. Rob, welcome back. How you feeling, pal?
Feeling great, brother. Feeling great. How you feeling, man? I love the energy,
It's just shaking off a hangover from last night, but you know what?
Nice.
You know, sometimes you gotta fake it through it. Like you gotta fake that's it through it. Life.
Exactly, man. Pull your pants up and get to work. That's it.
Yeah, that's right. So Rob Font has a fight on December 19th against Marlon Moraes. He's a great opponent, but Rob Font's even better. Watch him, buy his merch. Are you teaching classes these days, Rob?
Yeah. So I teach a Muay Thai class from 7:15 to 8:30 at the Gentle Art Dojo in Lowell, Mass. I also have a private studio in Lawrence, Mass, where I do private lessons for boxing, kickboxing, MMA, anything you really want to work on. We got a little strength conditioning set up there as well. And then, just trying to pass on the knowledge, you know.
Yeah, hit up Rob. Like, you know, there's a lot of guys out there, and this is something that I talk about from time to time. In my opinion, there's really two kinds of gyms, really. One is the, you know, like everybody fights or whatever. You're going in there to break a sweat, and, you know, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. That's cool, too. But then there's the other kind of gym where you actually learn how to fight, you know, and that's where when I met Rob, that's Sit Ya Tong. That's where you learn how to fight. It's a dirty fighter's gym where you're going to get hit and you're going to get punched. Yeah. So if you want to learn what fighting is, and more importantly, what fighting is not, hit up Rob Font. He's got privates. He teaches classes. He's a stone cold killer. And in our last segment, he taught us what it's like to actually start somebody in the first round and get a fight of the night bonus. Just flatten this dude out. He probably doesn't know where he was for 3 to 4 hours, maybe the entire day. So Rob Font wins fight bonuses. He tells us what it's like to feel success and have your life changed in the UFC ring. But we're going to change it up right now because this is a podcast about success, but it's also a podcast about failure. And I've said this a million times, failure is nature's most effective teacher. And boy, in the ring, you fail all the time and you fail in a way where it's hard to not see that you failed. So in the second half, we talk about heartbreak. We talk about losing. We talk about getting fired. We talk about movies that you hate. We talk about a song that disappointed you, as long as it really got in there and ripped your guts out, because that's where you really change your life. That's where the things that you're doing wrong are thrown in your face. So Rob Font, tell me about something not awesome.
Something not awesome. Obviously, like I said, I would say quitting on yourself, you know. Definitely quitting on yourself. If you quit on yourself, man, it's super bad. You know, you'll quit on everything. If it's real easy to quit on yourself, you're gonna quit at anything that comes your way. And you know, just one of those things that you can't really take failure as the end. You know, like I believe there's you don't really fail until you stop trying. You know, in my opinion. You know, like I learned from all my losses. I learned from all my failures, and I just. To me, I just keep pushing forward. You know, I just keep pushing forward and try to get better every day.
Rob, what's the closest you came to quitting on yourself?
Oh, man, that's a good question. That's tough, man. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to just stop. You know, it's hard for me to quit. It's
I know it's a hard question because it's like acknowledging a moment of weakness, and that's so hard to do. But you know, like when I would come in and just get the shit kicked out of me on a Monday, I would be like, what am I doing this for? Like, I just got obliterated. Why would I ever come back?
But sometimes you just gotta take that. It's a little different, man, because when it comes to this, like, I lost my first amateur fight, I lost my first kickboxing fight, you know, I lost my second pro fight, you know, so I lost, and from there, I really, you know, like I said, like I just figured out what do we got to do. My first amateur fight, I had to get in shape, so we got a conditioning coach. You know, my first loss in the pros, I didn't really know how to wrestle, so we started wrestling. You know, I didn't see it as losses. You know, I definitely didn't quit. Like, it was one of those things. Like, all right, well, what do we got to do to fix this? And that's what we did. And we went out there and got the job done. And I still feel that way. You know, it's kind of like it's one of those things. Like, I really don't think you fail until you stop trying. You know, I feel like I could, you know, like, and so I feel like you don't really fail until you stop trying until you get it right. Like, I don't stop until I get it right. You know, that's it. There's no other way around it. Like, I'm going to keep doing it until I get it right. And it might take more money or more travel or changing camps or flying out to any state to get better. Like, I'm going to do it and we're going to figure this out. But the moment you stop doing that, then it's like you'll notice that, like, nothing ever gets better.
So your first loss as an amateur, I see this, Nate Oces?
Yep, Nate Oces. So, I went in there the first round and I put it on him. And then I gasped. And then, you know, and then I got taken down and I didn't really understand. It was weird because I'm still green. I'm still learning this. I didn't really understand what the underhook was. I knew how to get an underhook, but I didn't know really what to do with the underhook, you know? And then it was just like that little detail, like just the underhook, was what kept me on the ground the whole time. And then from there, it was I was a kid. I was like, obviously learning how not to do too much in the first round, or if you are, you got to be in shape to do that to the next round, you know? And again, that was another hard lesson I had to figure out. And even then, like I said, like I thought I kind of knew jiu-jitsu, but it's different when you're out there getting punched in the face, you know, and you had to get back down to it and get to work, throw the gi on, go to classes, drive to wherever we had to drive to figure out jiu-jitsu and bring in whoever we had to bring in, you know, and that's what we did.
So walk me through losing your first fight. Did you feel like a huge failure? How long did it take you to sit in that and feel? Because, you know, you got to – heartbreak happens. And, you know,
happens. It sucks. You know, obviously it sucks. I'm telling my girl, I think I could do this. She's looking at me like, you sure? All right, let's go do it. And then I go out there and lose. And it's like, what? You know, like, I thought you said you could do this. You know, and it's like, I got my boys. And at that, I was literally out here by myself. It was just me, my girlfriend, and my boy Miguel, and that was it. And obviously my team, but as far as like a support system, that was it. So I got two people that are believing in me on a high level, and I just knew I couldn't let these people down, you know.
Did you feel like you had let them down when you lost?
For a second, you know, saying yeah. For a second, that kind of look, look people give you, kind of like, you know, that look like shit. You know, I looked for a second, but again, like literally for a second, I remember walking down the stairs at the arena that we were at, and like, all right, this is never happening again. And then I had teammates fight that same night. I had Davis Rose and Dat Tran. They fought that night, and I'm like, they won. I'm like, damn, I want that feeling. You know what I'm saying? I need to get that. And so it went, I took a day and got right back to it because I wanted that feeling they got. And then again, you know, my manager and Coach Tyson booked another fight with me, and we erased that feeling, and we got into the win column, and I was like, oh, this is it. And then from there, I just kept going and kept going and kept going, and then boom, I lost again. All right, well, what did we do the first time? And I just repeated that, and we got better.
Did that loss hurt more than the first one, less than the first one?
I mean, they all suck. They all suck, but again, like I said, like as far as me, like it's really not emotional for me. It's more about like, all right, what do we have to fix? What do we got to fix? This is what we did. This is what we did right. This is what we did wrong. Go out there and fix it. The one that hurt the most was definitely the John Lineker fight, because I don't think I fully wrapped my head around what I was getting myself into. I just thought, oh yeah, another day of fighting. Nah, it was a whole different level. It was a whole other level. I was traveling to Brazil. I was fighting in a soccer stadium full of like 60,000 fans. And they're Brazilian, you know, they're going in screaming, you know, with that little chant they scream. And so I just didn't really wrap my head around or about the situation. I just thought, whatever. I went from fighting Joey Gomez in Boston to fighting John Lineker in Brazil, and I just didn't fully put the mental side to that, and you know, and it showed. And then from there, like I was just like, honestly, you know, Tony Martin recommended a couple books for me that helped out a lot after that. And, you know, we got a couple books. He recommended The Champion's Mindset and then Relentless, and he recommended Relentless by Timothy Grover. And then from there, I realized it's not just physical. It's not just how much you work or how fast you are. It's a lot of mental game too. And it's literally 90% mental, 10% physical. And once I kind of wrapped my head around that, it was like, it got a little easier to get up and get going or, you know, saying to reach out and talk to people about, you know, saying those feelings you get, or that feeling of like, shit, I lost. How do I deal with that? You know? And then again, like I said, it's all learning lessons.
Yeah, that's something I would love to talk to you about is that John Lineker fight. So what do you say, like 60,000 people in there, and they are literally. Stupid. I looked up that chant one time, and the fans are literally screaming for him to kill you. They say that the chant is to kill you.
With that, I got this, like I literally. I got distracted. It wasn't like I was not blaming on the fans. I got distracted. I was like listening to that. I was overhyped for some reason. Like, you know, you said I'm super calm for some reason that night. I was like, and that's just not me. You know, saying I was trying to force it. It was like I was trying to do something that wasn't, you know, and it was I even walked out to a song that I don't usually walk out to. It just wasn't me, you know. I didn't have my girl out there. It was just not right. And you know, and then again, I mentally, I wasn't there either. Like I remember seeing a shirt I got John Linker throwing big bombs at me. I can remember seeing a shirt out there in the crowd, and it was bothering me. You know, I was like, why, yo, get this guy away from me. Like, he's not even doing anything. He's just standing there chilling.
Yeah.
But it was like, I was so far out of like being in the zone and being focused that like it just didn't work out. And I learned my lesson fast, and we had to bounce back from that. And, you know, we did.
Yeah. It's so with John Linker, I remember that fight. Like, you didn't really get like destroyed or crushed, but he was in your business that whole fight. He was coming forward. And what do you think caused you to get into this bad mental state? Like, what was distracting you?
I don't know. I think it was like I took a couple big shots, and then from there it was a little like trigger shot. You know, I couldn't pull the trigger yet. I just couldn't pull the trigger. I don't think I was fully ready to get knocked out completely. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be able to like go in there knowing, like, hey, if I get knocked out, I wasn't ready for that. You know, like, and that sounds crazy, but I'm like ready to get knocked out. If that makes sense. Like, obviously, I don't want to get knocked out, but I'm ready to completely.
Rob, I got to tell you, that does not make any sense to me. So God bless you, you fucking weirdo. Is that really your mindset? You're like, I'm going in there, I'm ready to get knocked out. Is that a common mindset for fighters?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure about other fighters, but for me, I wasn't prepared. I was afraid to get knocked out. If that makes sense. I'm like ready, prepared to go in there and like, and just fully just go out there and let it all out, you know? And then, you know, and that's hard to deal with, but you gotta be able to burn your ships and get ready to come back, and you gotta be able to burn the ships, go to war, fight, and know that there's no other way out. You gotta win this fight or win this battle. That's the only way you're making it home. I'm really there. It sounds crazy, but I'm there to kind of like get in there. You can see it. Like, you see some of my fights, I go in, like the Ricky Simone fight. I was like, yeah, I got people telling me like, yo, yeah, you gotta do that. I'm like, yeah, fuck this, watch this. I'm going straight at this dude, you feel me? And then I got caught too. And I was all right, well, calm down a little bit.
So, okay, like, take it easy.
You know what I'm saying? I got dropped and everything, but I was like, boom, I got dropped. Oh, wasn't the worst. Get back up, let's get back to work. So like, you know, I'll tell him Kathy the other day, I'm like, no, I'm gonna go straight at this dude when I get into December 19th, and we're gonna find out what happens before. But my Linker fight, I wasn't ready to do that. I was like, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna play this. I was trying to like make everything perfect, and I was like, this is how it is, I'm gonna try this, I'm gonna do that. And then when it didn't work out, I was like, well, what the fuck? And then I wasn't able to freestyle. I was overthinking it. I was too game plan oriented, and from there I switched up how I approach it. Now it really is, I'm gonna hit you more than you hit me, and that's it. There's no game plan. This is gonna go out there, hit you more than you hit me, and try to put on a show at the same time.
That's awesome. You know, and you mentioned this before, because after the Linaker fight, you absolutely put it on Matt Schnell. You fucking blasted that dude. He only lasted one round. You've had a couple losses since then, but you're on a 2-fight winning streak. You're gonna make it 3 on December 19th. Rob, I think it's such an interesting mindset you have, because it seems like you're the kind of person who deals with failure a lot better than other people. And I've always said that the most important quality a man can have, or a woman too, is the ability to deal with failure, because failure is not going anywhere. You're going to continue to fail for the rest of your life, but it's how you deal with it. For me, sometimes I take a little bit longer to process the failure, and it hurts for a long time sometimes. But I think your mindset is really cool, that you're able to take it, process it, and use it.
Yeah, and just kind of go and move forward and forget about it. You know, I try to make decisions fast. I try not to overthink things, and sometimes it gets me in trouble. Sometimes it helps out, and I just try to keep pushing and go forward. You know, it's especially with the fight game. You know, there's like, you know, you can't be emotionally tied to this. You know, this shit is brutal, man. Like, it'll eat you up, man. Like, if you can't deal with a loss, don't get into MMA. You know what I'm saying? Or definitely don't try to shoot for the UFC, because it's tough, man. And then again, there's guys out there that, like, you know, they'll go in the feet. You see the Khabib, you see the John Jones, but it's like, it's tough out here, man. So, like, you know, prepare to get your ass beat, be prepared to lose. And if you can't deal with that, like, I'll definitely pick a different career. So,
yeah, with mixed martial arts, there are so many ways to lose. There's a million ways to lose. And a guy like Khabib, who I guess retired undefeated, if you believe he's retired, which I don't, but That's almost impossible to do, yeah. To retire. Yeah,
you have the guys like that, and then you have everybody else that kind of like is up and down. You know, you got Conor McGregor, double champ, coming off of losses. You know, it's tough, man. It's a brutal sport, and again, if you don't know how to deal with the ups and downs, you're gonna drive yourself crazy.
All right, so this has been Rob Font, member of the New England Cartel. The man, he's a survivor of failure. His knee is back. He's the bionic man. He's going to starch Marlon Moraes. Rob, who is your all-time favorite fighter?
My all-time favorite fighter. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Well, give me three candidates. Like who's in your short list?
My short list, well, obviously, it would have to be Uriah Faber. He kind of got me into the sport.
Yeah.
It's always been the smaller guys. It was Uriah Faber. And then once I got into, like, the UFC, because at first I didn't know what the UFC was. It was always WEC. So it was Uriah Faber. And then it was BJ Penn.
Yes, the prodigy.
Once I started watching the UFC, it was BJ Penn. And then from there, I just became a fan of everybody and started learning from everybody. But, I would say definitely Uriah Faber, BJ Penn, and myself.
Oh, he named himself. That's my boy right there. The reason why I asked is I had to watch, you know, the guy that got me into, you know, watching combat sports on a really, like, intense level. My guy was Roy Jones Jr. I loved watching Roy Jones.
That triple hook he has, man, it's nasty. Like, we have a whole combination dedicated to Roy Jones.
I mean, like, he's ridiculous. He was on such a higher level than anybody else in the early to mid-90s. He went in there, he shut out Bernard Hopkins. Like, Bernard Hopkins, one of the greatest fighters of all time. And he smoked James Toney, one of the greatest fighters of all time. And but you're right, that left hook is so deadly. If you ever see Roy Jones, his left bicep is three times the size of his right bicep because he just blasts that hook so much.
I would watch him like nonstop on that double end bag and try to mimic what he does on that double end bag. And it's impressive. Go look him up. Go to YouTube, watch Roy Jones working out and watch him on the double end bag. And watching the video, you still can't see a certain amount of punches. So imagine that in the ring, you know, it's like, that's how fast and quick and accurate it is. It's crazy.
Yeah, I think that his equivalent in mixed martial arts, you know, for me was Anderson Silva. I used to love to watch Anderson, and another gentleman fighter, you know, seems like a super respectful, not a trash talker, a genuine martial artist, but physically and on like a fast twitch and ability to react wise, like him and Roy Jones were kind of similar because they were just on a level so much higher than everybody else.
There was a point where they were talking about trying to fight too.
I remember that. That would have been wild.
Maybe like 2013 or maybe 2012. They were talking about trying to do like a boxing match. And yeah. That would have been interesting. You know, that would have been interesting.
Would have been interesting. Rob Font, thank you so much for indulging me on Fight Talk. We talked failure today, which is so fucking hard. But just deal with it, process it, move forward. That's what Rob Font does. Rob, love you, pal. Thanks for coming on the show. Catch Rob Font on December 19th against Marlon Moraes, number 3 ranked fighter in the world. He's a bionic man. He's got a new knee. He's got the same right hand, though, motherfuckers. He's coming for you. Catch him on the New England Cartel. Find him if you want to actually learn how to fight. If you want to learn how to throw that right round or that question mark kick or that double jab into that blasting right hand that George Roop found out about,
yes, sir.
Find Rob Font and the New England Cartel. Rob, thank you so much for coming on today, pal.
Of course, man. Appreciate it, bro. Thank you for having me on.
No problem. This has been Prognosis Awesome. Thank you so much, Rob Font, for coming on. We're going to see you soon. And that's for all for us today. And we will see you later.
Bingo.